The government opposition, all the major political party apart from the Greens, which have a specific public housing policy, have gotten away confusing people with terminology, equating community, social and affordable housing with public housing. It is totally different. And if there's one thing you need to do when you leave this rally, is to explain to as many people as possible the difference. There are reporters who've got no idea what the difference is. And what Grace has highlighted is what it's like. And I could get many other people here to speak about what it's like to live in that situation where you've got no security, while in public housing, unless you're pretty outrageous, you've got security. Next, we've got 44 Flats United, Aku. Plus friend.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, everybody. Sorry, I'm just recovering from some rest retreat thing that's made its rounds at the Flats in Southside. My name is Aku, and I'm the proud founder and leader of 44 Flats United, or 44FU. Firstly, I just want to take this opportunity to say that we at 44FU, we're guided by three principles. The first is that nobody who lives in any of these high-rises is left worse off because of this decision to demolish the flats. And the reason that is because everybody has a choice of what they want to do. Some people want to go. Some people have had a transfer application in for decades. It's their prerogative, and we support that. But by and large, the majority of people who live in these buildings, and we know this because we've door knocked every single door in tranche one and tranche two, that's 1,000 flats. By and large, people want to stay. And when they know what's happening, they feel indignant about the whole situation and they want to stay and fight even more. Secondly, keep everything public housing. And we say keep it public because if there actually is something wrong with the buildings that we live in, there is no way we want our families and our friends to keep living in them. They would need to go down. But we know that's a fallacy. We know that the government's just saying that as a justification to demolish the flats, and it's got nothing to do with the integrity of the buildings. So we say keep it public. And then thirdly, it's land back. So I want to acknowledge that we're fighting for public housing and our right to homes and land, on land that doesn't even belong to us, land that was stolen from the Woiwurrung Wurundjeri and the Boonwurrung people of the mighty Kulin Nations. And if anybody, or actually I strongly encourage everybody here today to come to court, to the Supreme Court of Appeals, on this Wednesday, the 3rd of June, to support Uncle Robbie Thorpe in his fight against the King for the case of genocide. Because until we address genocide in this land, this shit is just gonna keep happening to different groups of people. I'm gonna give you a brief update on just like four things that got sent to us this week. Like we're there at the flats every day across tranche 1, 2, and 3. So for those who don't know, the state government's attacking public housing or demolishing the 44 high rises in tranches. And in total, there are now 12 buildings. So in tranche 1 just this week, and I think Sandra touched on it, they've already started infill work. So what that is people are living in high rises and they've got a car park in the middle where they all park. They've closed that off now. So there's limited access for emergency vehicles and people are fighting each other for car parking spaces. They can't take their kids to work. They have nowhere to park their car when they get home at night. And this is what residents have said. It feels like an attack on them because we got the special leave application at the High Court last week. And this is them being frustrated because every day that they don't start demolition works, it's costing them money. And so now it feels like retaliation against the residents. They've started infill work. Shame, exactly. Shame. They've also, over at 33 Elford Street, also a building in Tranche 1, a 12-storey unit that mostly houses families. A year ago, they started drilling and knocking down walls, and they've just recommenced that this week without any notice. And young kids are scared because they feel like their building is going to crumble in on them and no one cares and they're going to die and no one's watching and no one does anything. The other thing is that over in Tranche 2, so over in Richmond, And people who moved over from Tranche 1 about a year ago, who got moved into community housing, which is where they want everybody to move into, they were told, don't worry, your rent settings will stay the same at 25%, same as public housing. And that's a lie, because people have received their letters this week, and their rent's gone up to 34%. And that's what people can expect from now on. Okay, and I guess I'll end on a positive note. So with Tranche 3 have been wised up. They know what's happened in Tranche 1 and 2. What 44 of you have been doing across the 7 buildings is we've been organising resident petitions. So residents have written their own petitions because they're against what's happening. And in 3 of those estates, the majority of people, so around 60% of people in those 3 buildings, have now signed a petition to stay. And 25% of people in the St Kilda building at Inkerman Street have also put declarations up on their doors telling Homes Victoria to go away. They're not cooperating with this process. So what we need is everybody here to support them and make some noise. Now, it is with great pleasure and honour that I introduce the next speaker. So what we've also done across 3 of the buildings already is each of those buildings have held their own, and for all of them, the first time ever, their first democratically elected residents committee elections, which is fucking huge. And the turnout at these is down 40 to 50%. So they've elected their own residents committees to represent them against the demolition of the flats. So Homes Victoria better be fucking scared now, because people are getting organised. So it's with great pleasure that I introduce Lorraine, who's just been elected to the 150 Victoria Avenue, Lakefield Court, Albert Park high-rise.
Thank you. My name's Lorraine. I'm a resident at one of the older persons high-rise towers. This is my first time ever speaking, so I'm shaking in my boots, I'm nervous, I'm a little bit embarrassed, and I'm angry. So forgive me for reading this, because I want to get my point clear. I didn't ever expect to be here. 3 months. 3 months was all it took. It was a real estate company's 90-day notice to vacate, followed by a corporate job cut. So now my job is gone and I'm homeless. What do? I'm hopeless being homeless. I thought that was a joke, but it's not a joke. I couldn't compete with 50 other people applying for permits at apartments that had jobs. It was soul destroying. However, today is my 2-year anniversary of moving in, and I am so grateful to Public Housing for supporting my crash land. But the reason I am here is because I've become homeless again with the news that my tower, one of the 7 older persons towers, is to be torn down. In total, that's 600 or 700 older people. Just take that number in for a moment. It could be you. It could be your mum, your dad, your grandma or your grandpa. Who does that? Especially when we're given no proof as to why. What you said before, shame, shame. So we are offered the instability of the not-for-profit community housing with higher rent and utility costs, which could, like Housing First Oasis, sell off our apartments, making me, your mum or dad, your grandma or grandpa, homeless again. This has to stop, people. We have to stop this together. Tell everyone. Divided we fail, united we can do this. Stop the destruction of the people and communities. Stop the tower demolitions and save public housing. Thank you.
Now, I know some of you aren't interested in electoral politics, but I'd just like to remind you there's an election on the 28th of November. And whether you vote or don't vote, they don't know. So you should be looking at all the potential candidates in that electorate and see which one have a positive attitude and support for publicly owned, publicly managed and publicly constructed housing in this state, and tell them that if they don't give you a clear answer, there is no way you and your extended family of 600 people are going to vote for them. Okay. Now we've got, that was a granddad joke, not a dad joke. Stop the Demo from Jackson Payne. Now Jackson, I'm quite impressed with this crew, because these are the type of people that are not here. It's a coalition of workers from across the social and community services sector. Now, I'm old enough to remember when we'd have rallies about housing 20, 30 years ago, and all the church groups would be there. All the not-for-profit groups would be there. Where are they today? They're not here. They've got their noses in the trough, in the privatisation trough. And that's the difference. It's the residents who are fighting and other people who support those residents. We can't rely on those institutions anymore. Of course, for them, it's a way of making a good buck. Thank you.
Now, look, I've got to take responsibility for the next speaker, Spike. He's obviously from the Homeless Persons Union, a grassroots organisation consisting of members who have been homeless and are currently homeless. The trouble is, he's one of my children. When he was a teenager, he'd hide under the bedspread and listen to the Anarchist World This Week. Look at him now.
Hi. So yes, my name's Spike. I'm from the Homeless Persons Union. There's other Homeless Persons Union members here today. I've had a long-term lived experience of homelessness myself, because even familial relationships break down under the stress of addiction, mental health issues and abuse. So if you know, some of the main drivers of homelessness are definitely economic issues is a big driver, but domestic violence and abuse in the home is also major drivers of homelessness. And that's why there's so many people on our streets, because of the amount of violence in our community. So couch surfing, squatting, living in rooming houses, the occasional night sleeping rough, that was part of my experience. But once I got housed through some outreach workers who submitted a public housing application on my behalf while I was in crisis accommodation, I got work as a lived experience as a peer worker at a homelessness health service. So public housing like this, and I'm a proud public housing tenant, saved my life. It helped me rebuild relationships and find my place in the world through meeting people who cared about me and believed in me, not just in public housing, but in the community. Though bricks and mortar are an important aspect of this equation, it's also important that the building of and the investment in public housing, what that represents is that the community collectively understands that the capitalist system is brutal and that it exploits working people and is even harder on people on benefits and people that don't work. By investing in and building public housing, the community is expressing through public policy, it's saying that it believes in people and that it understands that housing security is a first step to building a life that is not dependent on paternalistic charities, and recognises our human right to housing and security. We believe in public housing because it's property. It's your property for life, where your rent and your housing security isn't defined by fluctuations in the stock market, where you don't have a housing worker in an office on your building watching over you 24 hours 24 hours a day, that you're able to access your space and that isn't attached to some program tendered out to some charity, where you can smoke, drink and do what you please, as long as you don't hurt someone else, as much as you like. And you might remember Bendigo Street. So the HPU was part of Bendigo Street, where we found that the east-west, the public, the houses that were bought for the east-west link that were left empty for months and months and months, while there was, while in the same year, 350 people were sleeping rough in the CBD. So that's what the sort of that's the sort of government that capitalism sort of creates. Creates government that only looks after one sector of the community. So that, but one of the positive things that came out of Bendigo Street was people like Auntie Ange, Uncle Frank, Izzy, Lucy, Monica, and Minnie all got public housing, and they're still in public housing today. The other thing I wanted to say is that the housing crisis or housing has been in crisis ever since I can remember. Ever since I was a kid, for working people, for people struggling with their mortgages to put food on the table, pay for school uniforms, pay for healthcare. The housing crisis has been around forever for working people and for people on benefits, so it's nothing new. It's part, it's how capitalism works. So the housing crisis has been our the reality for working people for decades. It punishes, so capitalism punishes, financially exploits and denies access to resources like housing to First Nations people, young people who don't have supportive families, people who use drugs, immigrants, people from the LGBTQIA plus community are 6 times more likely to experience homelessness than anyone else. People with disabilities, people with mental health issues like depression, anxiety, PTSD and many other mental health challenges are also facing difficulties accessing housing without public housing. The other thing I wanted to mention was the idea that there's scarcity. I had a look on Google just before we left for here today, and the people that check our water, like the water board checks houses, and they found that there's up to 32,000 homes that were completely empty for an entire year. The census found that there were 70,000 homes that were significantly underused, pushing the number to 100,000. So the idea that there's scarcity is a fucking capitalist, it's a capitalist fucking, it's a strategy to try and to force people to compete against each other. It keeps rents high and property values high, and we have to do all we can to maintain the fight against the demolition of public housing. Thanks.
Thank you, Spike. Look, there's been a